Well, I have a devotional on your favorite topic, fruit flies. And you know what? Why this comes up, and we're starting to talk about evolution, is that their concept is that this impossible thing would happen if you give it enough time. If you go back giving it millions and millions, billions of years, then the most unlikely thing could happen. If it was going to happen through the various generations, wouldn't it have happened to the fruit fly? The fruit fly has a tiny little lifespan. So let's look at the fruit flies, claiming that organic evolution has never been observed, and not even with fruit flies. A century of fruit fly experiments involving 3,000 consecutive generations. That's a lot. Gives absolutely no basis for believing that any natural or artificial process can cause an increase in complexity and viability. You look at them and they're just same old fruit fly that they always been. No clear genetic improvement has ever been observed in any form of life, despite the many unnatural efforts to increase mutation rates. Now here's a guy named Theodosius Zobzansky. Say that three times. Evolution, Genetics, and Man, writing this in 1955. Most mutants which arise in any organism are more or less disadvantageous to their possessors. The classical mutants obtained in Drosophila, that's the fruit fly, usually show deterioration, breakdown, or disappearance of some organs. Mutants are known which diminish the quantity or destroy the pigment in the eyes, and in the body reduce the wings, eyes, bristles, legs. Many mutants are in fact lethal to their possessors. Mutants which equal the normal fly in vigor are a minority, and mutants that would make a major improvement of the normal organization in the normal environment are unknown. Never in all of this time, thinking of trying, you know, bombarding the fruit flies with the cosmic rays, bombarding them with radiation, trying to get a mutant that, I don't know, leaps up with a cape and saves the world, it's just not happening, see? Nilsson, page 1186, a review of known facts about their mutated fruit fly's ability to survive has led to no other conclusion than that they are always constitutionally weaker than their parent form or species. And in a population with free competition, they are eliminated. They can't survive in the real world. Therefore, they are never found in nature. Not a single one of the several hundreds of Drosophila mutations. Not one. And therefore, they are able to appear only in the favorable environment of the experimental field or laboratory. They don't even live well enough to exist. Goldschmidt, in page 94, says, in the best-known organisms like Drosophila, innumerable mutants are known. If we were able to combine 1,000 or more of such mutants in a single individual, so pick and choose all the different mutations, put it all in one, this still would have no resemblance whatsoever to any type known as a new species in nature. Not even close. Gordon Rattray Taylor, former chief science advisor, BBC Television, wrote The Great Evolution Mystery. On page 48, he says, it is a striking but not much mentioned fact that though geneticists have been breeding fruit flies for 60 years or more in labs all around the world, flies which produce a new generation every 11 days. They have never seen the emergence of a new species or even a new enzyme. Always keep the same enzyme or don't have it at all. Hitching wrote, page 61, fruit flies refuse to become anything but fruit flies under any circumstances yet devised. Sorry, evolutionist. Pierre Paul Grasse, Evolution of Living Organisms, page 130. The fruit fly, and here we get the full name, Drosophila melanogaster, the favorite pet insect of the geneticists, whose geographical, biotopical, urban and rural genotypes are now known inside out, seem not to have changed since the remotest times. So, look to the fruit fly for your evolution and be disappointed. If it were to show up, it would have shown up in the